It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it looks like we dodged a bullet, Lee.
Okay.
And no, I'm not talking about that bullet.
Oh, not that one.
No, that one. Not that one, no. Another really scary one by the name of Mark Kelly.
Yeah.
That would have been scary. Astronaut. Almost no national profile. The media could have turned him into whatever they wanted. And it was who Obama wanted. But Joe screwed that up deliberately. Surprised this New York Post article didn't get more attention. So we're waking up this morning. The Obamas have finally broken and did what they clearly did not want to do, which was endorse Kamala Harris. And, Kayleigh McEnany's right. They waited till the last minute. They did not want to do this.
Despite their initial silence, Barack and Michelle Obama have finally endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris for president.
That's not how you want that endorsement to sound. You know, okay, guess we got to endorse her. But there's this line, these couple lines in the middle of this New York Post article that are remarkable. It's from 2 days ago. And here, I'll read it to you. According to talking about their sources for the article, Obama's hope was to get Biden out of the way, and an op-ed written by George Clooney in the New York Times asking him to step down was part of that plan. However, the higher-ups of the Democrat Party didn't count on Biden endorsing Harris right away, and Obama was shocked when the president endorsed her. He was furious because they, as they told us 3 weeks ago, wanted to get to their Blitz primary. And they wanted the Blitz prime. And I told you at the time why they wanted it, because Kamala Harris could not win it. And this is a woman who got, again, beaten by Andrew Yang and Tom Steyer and never won a single delegate in a Democrat primary. In a Democrat primary, Lee. She couldn't win it.
Yeah.
And so they did the last ditch effort of the last few days. They had Black Lives Matter come out and label Kamala an oppressor, basically, and say, hey, we want a snap primary. And it fell flat. They didn't get it. So Obama, after trying to politically assassinate Kamala Harris, had to give up an endorser. It's not what he wanted. But the scary part of this article is this part. That Obama's plan, who Obama wanted after Biden's ouster, New York Post writes, Obama wanted Arizona Senator and former astronaut Mark Kelly at the top of the ticket when the Democrat National Convention was held last month. The problem was Joe's dithering. It went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Joe was supposed to drop out. They were supposed to do the snap primary. They were supposed to find to their shock that Kamala Harris had lost, but oh well, democracy. And then you'd have Mark Kelly. And let me tell you what, you want to talk about, Trump has dodged two major bullets, because I don't think he could beat Kelly. They would have immaculated him like they did Barack Obama. Kelly doesn't have the disastrous record that Kamala Harris does. He said a lot of things about the border that could be used to indicate that he wants to close it. He won't, but they would have painted him that way. We'd have had a heck of a time with him.
Yeah.
But Joe Biden was angry at Barack Obama and screwed them all over by saying, hey, I endorse Kamala. They didn't see that coming. So they've had to waste more time trying to get rid of her, and they failed. I hope that it looks like I think this is the Obamas capitulating, giving up. I think. And this was like a funeral, Lee, on CNN. Here's Casey Hunt. Okay, this is not how you want your endorsement by Obama and your immaculation to begin.
If in fact Kamala Harris, the presumptive nominee, loses to Donald Trump in November, there are going to be so many questions for the Democratic Party to soul search about how they got to a point where they denied themselves a primary process, a crucible that could have produced perhaps a stronger candidate. The number of what ifs would just explode.
Yes, let's hope we all find ourselves there.
Yeah, she's absolutely right about that. Of course, I'm going to tell you, I think that whichever party loses here, there is going to be upheaval.
Yes.
Within that party. Because this is just one of those crucial things for both parties. The losing party is really going to, I think, have a tremendous power struggle go on for its survival afterwards. Because if Republicans lose this.
At the same time, Kamala knows Obama tried to cut her off at the knees, okay? So Obama, his power here is in question. Who's Obama's power? Never forget who made Obama. Obama was initially recruited by John Brennan when he was in college.
Yeah.
That's how far back they go, okay? Yeah. So when you're looking at the power in the Democrat Party, it is Brennan, CIA director, and
interesting.
Describe Marxist. They go all the way. I mean, he admitted it in a CNN interview. He said, look, I was at the CIA. I thought I was going to get fired. He said, you know, we have to take these lie detector tests. And he said, I just voted for the Communist Party in a local election. And I thought I was going to get fired because that was back when we're supposed to be fighting the communists. But he was all for that. And he said, I was shocked they kept me. Yeah, great. So that's who hooked up with Obama in college and nurtured his career, right? So this is a blow for Brennan, too, because if Kamala Harris manages to win, she's the new kingmaker in the party. Obama's on the sidelines.
It's also interesting that she's already been quoted as saying, or at least it's been attributed to her, that basically they're going to clean house within the leadership of the White House, that all the current Biden folks are not going to be there anymore. Well, who are all the current Biden folks? Obama folks.
Yep. Because she knows he tried to stop her. She knows all those awful articles that have run all week in all the liberal publications saying she can't win. That's Obama. New York Times ran it. Politico ran it. I mean, humiliating stuff, saying world leaders didn't respect her, didn't like her, think she's a lightweight, think she can't beat Trump. I mean, that's in Politico. That's a hit job.
Yeah.
That's a hit job. So she's only got this nomination, at least at this point, because of a screw up.
And this has to be considered a hesitant endorsement because the Obamas literally phoned it in.
Yes, they didn't even do it in person.
If you really wanted to show leadership strength and endorsement, there would have been video of this. This would have been a, you know, handshaking, hugging, smiles all around, whatever. But they literally phoned it in.
And you can't do that after you're leaking all over the place. I mean, twice in 1 week to the New York Post, headline, Obama doesn't believe Kamala Harris can beat Trump. They leaked that.
Yeah.
They don't want to be on camera accepting this woman if she loses. They don't. And listen, the ridiculous coverage of, wow, Biden really wanted Kamala. No, he didn't. You know, if you've ever had anyone who suffered from Alzheimer's dementia in your family, you know what happens. The brain barrier goes down. There's this great barrier, thank God we all have it, between what we think and what comes out of our mouths, right? Or we'd all be like divorced, jobless, homeless, you know what I mean?
Unemployed.
Yes. Yeah. Have no friends.
Yes.
It's a very critical brain barrier. Well, it goes in people who have dementia. It really does. Yeah. And they say things that you're like, wow, that came out of your mouth. Here's Joe Biden doing that, telling us what he really thinks of Kamala in an interview just a little over 2 weeks ago.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, though I think she was not qualified to be president.
Right. It was a little scramble there because of the dementia. He called Vice President Harris Vice President Trump, but listen to the end of it.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, though I think she was not qualified to be president.
And he's right. She's not. She's not. The woman can't even win a single delegate in a primary. And got picked over all of the people who did. Because they were the wrong color. Or the wrong color gender mix. So whatever. Biden doesn't even like her either. He did that to spite Obama.
Yep.
This is fabulous. This is the kind of thing that normally happens in the Republican Party.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. It is amazing how
it's amazing.
The two parties have pretty much transposed. It is now the Democrats that are the rich, powerful white elites, and it's the Republicans that are appealing to minorities and the working class.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, it's all upside down. Texter writes, this was Biden's way of giving Obama the middle finger on his way out. And here's one of the problems that they have. I mean, if you look at Hillary.
I just think of Joe Biden trying to figure out which finger is his middle finger. But
yeah,
anyway.
Really. Yeah, well, now if you look at Hillary versus Biden, Biden got 3 more percentage points of white males. Biden, and most of those were college-educated white men. Biden picked them up. It's a big number. 3% is millions of votes that Hillary couldn't carry, right? And Kamala's going to have an even harder time carrying them. If Trump can get those white male votes back, he can squeak this out over the finish line. But I'm here to tell y'all, this is going to be hard. And our side is deluding themselves right now if they think this is going to be easy.
Yeah, yes.
Because it ain't.
No.
Let me tell you what. The whole assassination thing, that's already fading.
Yes.
He got a bump, but that's fading.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at these Emerson polls right now. And if you look, Kamala and Trump, neither one of them is over 50% in a single swing state. He is leading her in all of them, yes, by a point or two. But neither one of them has clinched it. And let's not forget, in the critical 3 swing states, Biden only won by a little over 40,000 votes. If you want to count all 6 swing states, it's 64,000.
It's a long way to November.
All of those states. That's how close this is. You have if the Democrats put up a better ground game, we don't even have a ground game. We don't have a get out the vote machine. Lara Trump announced she was going to build one. I'm like, wow, now look at the time.
Yeah. yes.
Good for her,
yeah.
But she's a mom who's taking over the RNC at the last minute. You know, I mean, I hope she could do it, but they're going to have a good ground game. They've been building their ground game for years.
Although I must admit, I am always amazed how quickly women can get something done when they want it done.
There is that. Yeah. So let's see. I don't know. I do not know, but we'll see. But the good news, so here's the thing. When you've got both candidates, and I just know this as an old campaign manager running statewide, when both candidates are in the 40s and nobody has gone over 50%, it's still game on.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It is game on in every one of these swing states. Mm-hmm. Trump's got a little bump now. But let me tell you what, Kamala Harris, I hate to break it to you, she's had a couple of good days.
And RFK Jr. is still out there.
He's still out there.
All it takes is about a 2 or 3% or 4% drop off in, you know, somebody's numbers and could be game over.
Yeah, this thing is not over. It's just starting. And we're still not entirely sure. You pointed this out earlier, Lee. We're not still 100% sure she's the nominee.
No, she's not. She technically is not the nominee. She is the presumptive nominee, as we keep saying in the media. But she is not the nominee of the Democrat Party yet.
And, you know, there's talk now of the Trump campaign about spending about $40 million. And their ads are good. The ads they're making right now are really good.
Yep.
They got that going for them. $40 million in the swing states. And Kamala, I'm like, on Kamala, I would just let's get to August 1st and see what's going on. Because I guarantee you, if there is a way to take this woman out, the Obamas are trying it right now. I don't think they'll succeed. I think that's why they finally had to give in and die by DEI and say, OK, fine, we endorse her. But it's not over yet.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's how you know that fist in the air photo from Donald Trump, which is so powerful because, you know, he didn't know at the time he's got, you know, with the one with the blood dripping from his ear. He doesn't know the shooter's been neutralized. And what it shows is the second he's attacked and his life is at risk. And in that moment where who you are, it really comes out in terms of how you fight. And instead of ducking and hiding, what does he do? He stands up and puts his fist in the air, you know, raging at wherever the attack has come from. It's what makes it so powerful. Americans love a thing like that. They do. And Trump was instantly remade as an underdog, a Washington outsider again in that moment. It was incredibly powerful. And that image will go down in U.S. history. Very powerful image. And you could tell polling-wise with the internal polling, that was really bad news for the Democrats. And what do they always do reflexively, folks, when the Democrats get bad news delivered by our side? What do they always do now all the time? They didn't used to. They turn to the FBI. They always do. They look at the, it's just a form of laziness. They turn to the FBI. So first they send Joy Reid out there to make up a conspiracy theory. Then they send FBI Director Christopher Wray in to repeat Joy Reid's wackadoodle conspiracy theory. Here's Joy Reid, she's a MSNBC talking head, spinning the conspiracy theory. Oh, come on. Trump wasn't really hit by a bullet. And if they miss, it's not a real assassination, so it doesn't count.
We still don't know for sure whether Donald Trump was hit by a bullet, whether he was hit by glass fragments, whether he was hit by shrapnel. We don't have those details. We actually have no details from his physician, even though this man is still a Secret Service protected presidential candidate. We knew almost nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they send her out to spin that stuff. We're laughing, but 34% of their sheeple, the Democrats' sheeple, believe Trump staged this. That's a Gallup poll. So it works. Now listen to her words.
We still don't know for sure whether Donald Trump was hit by a bullet.
Bullet.
Whether he was hit by glass fragments.
Okay, right. So they give the talking points to lying FBI director Christopher Wray. Listen to how similar what he said was.
With respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that, you know, that hit his ear.
I've been watching Ray for a long time now. He's like my husband. It's kind of a cool built-in feature with my husband. He cannot lie without smiling. So I'm like, whew, honey, you are never going to be able to cheat on me. I'm going to know looking at your face. My daughter's the same way. She inherited it. I love it. Wouldn't even bother to play poker with those two. Well, Ray's the same way. And when Ray was walking into that hearing, he had this evil little smile on his face. He could not stop. He was trying not to laugh. Walking down the hall, if you watch the video, you'll see it. He did it again. As he's saying this, he's barely containing his smile. He smiles when he lies. So these are Joy Reid's MSNBC talking points coming out of his mouth. Well, I just don't know. I don't know if it was a bullet or glass that grazed Trump's ear.
With respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that, you know, that hit his ear.
What does that mean? The Democrat Party's internal polling shows this was devastating for them. This was a direct hit on the Democrat Party, not Trump. Supposed to hit Trump, hit the Democrat Party. This was powerful. So they sent the FBI director out to neutralize this. Now, listen to Jim Jordan, like follow up with this, okay? Listen very closely, because Ray admits, well, it's not that we don't know.
It's my understanding that the very first one was the one that hit the president. Is that the very first shot, or is that not accurate?
I don't, as I sit here right now, I don't know the answer to that. I believe we know the answer to that. I just don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
See? Oh, we know the answer to that, because the answer is it was a bullet and it did that to his ear. But I still have my notes here. It's not here. So I'm so confused. The media took that and ran with it. Did you put it in Google? Headlines all over the place. The implication is that Donald Trump lied about getting hit with the bullet. If you look at Christopher Wray's nasty, lying face as he says this, he's got that evil little smile that he gets when he lies. Okay. Later in the testimony, and ignored by the media, is Christopher Wray actually admitting he does know a bullet grazed Donald Trump's ear? Here we go.
So it's conceivable, although as I sit here right now, I don't know whether that bullet, in addition to, you know, causing the grazing, could have also landed somewhere else. But I believe we've accounted for all of the shots and the cartridges. So let us get
that. That bullet, in addition to causing the grazing, yes, on his ear. It wasn't grazed anywhere else, and he isn't claiming to be grazed anywhere else. He knows. So what Christopher Wray actually said, he knew what he was doing. He's repeating the Joy Reid MSNBC conspiracy theory. Right? But he's saying, well, you know, I don't have it in my notes here. I don't know if Trump got hit by that, but he knows. What a dirty, rotten thing to do. What a nasty individual. Well, Trump lost it, and so did Ronnie Jackson, Former White House doctor who's now a congressmember who examined Donald Trump. And so he fires off a letter saying that, you know, absolutely this was a bull shot, a bullet shot to Donald Trump. As reported and witnessed by the entire world, Ronnie Jackson, former White House physician, writes, he sustained a gunshot wound to the right ear from a high-powered rifle used by the would-be assassin. Hey, folks, there's a picture of this taken by the mainstream media with a bullet going by his head. Ronnie Jackson writes, the bullet track produced a 2-centimeter-wide wound that extended down to the cartilaginous surface of the ear. Here's the Trump campaign statement delivered by Stephen Chung, who's his spokesperson. Anyone who believes this conspiracy bull blank is either mentally deficient or willfully peddling falsehood for political reasons. Yes, with a little evil on her, smile on his face. It's worth going to watch the audio while he lies. Watch him smile as he lies, which he always does. Dead giveaway with Ray when he's lying. Let's string a couple things together about the increasingly violent protests that we're seeing in the streets by Democrat protesters. Their new thing they're into, well, it's usually always violence, that never changes. But the new thing that they're into is they support terrorists. They support Hamas. John Kirby, co-spokesman for the Biden regime, or is it the Harris regime now? Nobody knows. Admits Iran is funding the protest. Think about this. Funding the protest on America's streets. I'm going to break down what this means because this we never seen this before. Okay, in the past, in normal America, that would have been considered what's called subversive activity. There are federal statutes under which it can be prosecuted. Those who are funding this for what? Subversion. Subversion of what? The Constitution, the government. You won't see Democrats proposing that now, will you? Remember, we had to spend $20 million, 36 FBI agents, subpoena over a million pages of information from Donald Trump to determine whether he was subversive, whether he was a foreign agent, whether he was operating on behalf of Russia, because danger to our democracy. Where's all that for this? What you're watching is a merger. Political merger between the mullahs, the Iranian government, the terrorist sponsoring and harboring government of Iran, and the Democrat Party on the streets of America. We've never seen this before. Okay, first, here's John Kirby, co-spokesperson, admitting, well, you know, Iran is funding all of this U.S. flag burning that our liberal Democrat base is doing in the street, but it's not all of it. You see, it's but it's a lot of it, yeah, but not all of it.
We've said ourselves, the director of national intelligence came out publicly and said that we do know that Iran has been funding and encouraging some of the protest activity here in the United States. Some of it. We do not believe that all the protest activity out there on a daily basis is being fully funded by Iran.
Okay, so let's put this all together with the news from the week. So Iran funds pro-Democrat, because it's not us, pro-Democrat, pro-terror protests in the USA. With what? The $10 billion that Biden gave them when? Just 2023 alone. Those funds were frozen. And remember, this is Obama used to send them pallets of cash in the middle of the night. So Biden unleashes $10 billion. Remember where we were when Trump was in office, okay? Iranians were scrubbing around for food. They didn't have enough food, and we were this close to them overthrowing the regime. Biden gives them billions of dollars. Now we've got well-armed Houthi pirates blowing up British ships in major shipping lanes. We've got the funding of Hamas. We've got the funding of the Gazans for genocide. All of that was funded, armed, and coordinated by the Iranians with what? The money Biden gave them. Now they're so out of control, they are in our streets funding Democrat protests. Now, what country is Iran again? I'm going to blow your mind here. The country that sends assassins to kill Trump. But weirdly, Not Biden or Kamala. You heard anything about an assassination plot? Iran, Kamala, Biden, anybody around them? I Googled it to make sure. Nope. Nope, just Trump. Just Trump. Suppose you're a mullah. You're openly funding these subversive activity in America's streets in partnership with the Democrat Party. Because who else is funding it? Remember when we learned this? Who else is funding it? Biden's donors. So let me get it straight. Biden's donors are funding it with the Iranians who he gave the billions of dollars to. Yeah, you're watching a merger of Iran, of the Iranian government, of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and the Democrat Party in the streets. While Iran sends assassins to kill Trump. And remember the details of this assassination plot, okay? This is not a theoretical, maybe they're doing it kind of thing. We caught the first assassin. He's scheduled to go on trial. We caught him in 21. He had hired a cartel hitman to kill Bolton and Pompeo for $300,000. And then they were going to move on to Trump for $1 million. This is the second assassin that they have sent. Google it. The FBI had his name, has him on wanted posters. They think he might have crossed the border or will cross the border from Venezuela. Oddly, the Iranians are not trying to kill Kamala or Biden, though. Why? Well, because they're working in partnership with them in the streets of America. So what you're looking at is the Summer of Love 2.0 funded by Iran and terror and Hamas and terrorists, because Hamas, that's an Iranian proxy group, right? Now, think about this for a moment. I'm going to really blow your mind. Suppose you're an Iranian mullah. You're not you. You're a mullah in Iran. You're watching this whole Trump assassination thing, and you're watching the unsecuring and insecuring of the Trump rally. Very obvious that they wanted to lower security. Then in the days following that, as you're wondering what the heck is going on, you learn they knew the whole time that an Iranian assassin or assassins were coming for Trump, and they lowered the security anyway. What does that tell you as a mullah? Wait, they knew the assassins were coming, and Iranians know they knew. The FBI put the wanted posters out in April with the guy's face and name. Hey, this guy's probably coming from Venezuela to kill Trump in his circle or to pay others to do it. Be on the lookout for him. And they lower security. And Iran goes, they want us to assassinate him. What other conclusion would a rational person draw? So it sure looks like a joint political operation by the Democrat Party and Iran on U.S. soil, with the Democrat-controlled security, federal security agencies lowering security after learning about a second Iranian assassination plot. And the reason I tell you about the first plot is to show you how serious this is. There was a real guy who tried to wire $300,000 to a cartel hitman. Merger of Iran and the Democrat Party, they are one. And this is why there is no assassination plot against anybody who's a Democrat right now. But a second one against Donald Trump and his circle. With our intel agencies, never forget this, Jesse Waters saying, hey, expect them to try to kill him again.
And now we're getting leaks from the intelligence community that the Iranians have a fatwa on 45. And, quote, there may be more attempts on Trump's life in the coming weeks.
Well, I'm sure there will be.
This is completely unacceptable.
I'm sure there will be. They unsecured and insecured that rally. Every assassin on Earth's like, hey, I wonder if they're going to unsecure and insecure the next rally. Better check that out. Well, as the FBI tells us, they're just very confused about why Thomas Crooks would want to shoot Donald Trump. They can't find any kind of motive at all, but they're really searching. I'm like, how hard are they searching? Well, not very hard, apparently. I don't know whether to laugh or cry at this. The CEO of Gab, which is a right-wing social media site, the CEO of Gab discovered an account that he believes is Thomas Crick's account on Gab. It was only used briefly in 2021, but whoa, boy, he was a liberal troll, huge Biden supporter. Not surprised by that. The only checks he's ever written were to the Democrat Party. When you donate to Act Blue's turnout fund, you are a highly sophisticated partisan. Yes, he was registered as a Republican because that's what Democrat leadership was telling him to do on all of those podcasts they went on when they were trying to get Nikki Haley elected in the primary. That's why he's registered as a Republican, to meddle in our primary. They didn't let them vote in theirs. They only let, you know, Joe run. Nobody else was allowed to run, as the Black Lives Matter pointed out. Of course, he was registered as a Republican. But his donations were to Democrats, and he's got this Gab account. Now, you know what's wild about this? Come on. You're telling me the FBI can't figure out what this guy thinks, what his motivation might have been? Where would you look? I'd go find out if he had any social media accounts, wouldn't you? Yeah, guess they forgot that. Now, here's where this gets even weirder. Torba, I forget his first name, darn it, I had it right in front of me. Who is the CEO and founder of Gab, says he has preserved all the accounts and all of the posts defending Joe Biden and Joe Biden's policies and basically trolling about in a liberal way, that he has preserved all of that should the FBI ever send a warrant his way. And he wants to turn it over. So let me get you straight. The head of Gab can find the account, but not the FBI. Why hasn't he already gotten some sort of legal document demanding that he retain this, asking for them to see it? Because they don't want to see it. They don't want to know. Because then they'd have to tell you the truth about who he is. He is a Biden donor, a Biden supporter, and a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. That's why. So it looks like, lest Torb is confused here, and by the way, no one has contacted him at all from our law enforcement agencies. You're telling me you don't know why he did it, but you missed the social media account that might tell you why he did it? You didn't see it? But this is going to be hilarious if it turns out it's his. And I would not be surprised one iota. But they can find social media posts that are sort of neutral, that are kind of confusing. Where did he, you know, where did he come from? They can find those, but they can't find this. Right. That's kind of like how they sat by and let us all believe for a year that the Pulse nightclub shooter was actually just a disgruntled gay man who'd been dumped by his boyfriend, when they knew the whole time that he called 911 while killing people at the nightclub to pledge allegiance to ISIS, came into town, stole the 911 tape, kept it for a year till they could get Hillary safely past the election, then released it. So I suppose we'll get all of the rest of the social media details on Thomas Crooks and what a big Democrat troll he was. What, after the election, when it no longer matters?
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's string a couple things together about the increasingly violent protests that we're seeing in the streets by Democrat protesters. Their new thing they're into, well, it's usually always violence, that never changes. But the new thing that they're into is they support terrorists. They support Hamas. John Kirby, co-spokesman for the Biden regime, or is it the Harris regime now? Nobody knows. Admits Iran is funding the pro- think about this, funding the protest on America's streets. I'm going to break down what this means, because this we never seen this before. Okay, in the past, in normal America, that would have been considered what's called subversive activity. There are federal statutes under which it can be prosecuted. Those who are funding this for what? Subversion. Subversion of what? The Constitution, the government. But you won't see Democrats proposing that now, will you? Remember, we had to spend $20 million, 36 FBI agents, subpoena over 1 million pages of information from Donald Trump to determine whether he was subversive, whether he was a foreign agent, whether he was operating on behalf of Russia, because danger to our democracy. Where's all that for this? What you're watching is a merger, political merger between the mullahs, the Iranian government, the terrorist sponsoring and harboring government of Iran, and the Democrat Party on the streets of America. We've never seen this before. Okay. First, here's John Kirby, co-spokesperson, admitting, well, you know, Iran is funding all of this U.S. flag burning that our liberal Democrat base is doing in the street, but it's not all of it. You see, it's a lot of it, yeah, but not all of it.
We've said ourselves, the director of national intelligence came out publicly and said that we do know that Iran has been funding and encouraging some of the protest activity here in the United States. Some of it. We do not believe that all the protest activity out there on a daily basis is being fully funded by Iran.
Okay, so let's put this all together with the news from the week. So Iran funds pro-Democrat, because it's not us, pro-Democrat, pro-terror protests in the USA. With what? The $10 billion that Biden gave them when? Just 2023 alone. Those funds were frozen. And remember, this is Obama used to send them pallets of cash in the middle of the night. So Biden unleashes $10 billion. Remember where we were when Trump was in office, okay? Iranians were scrubbing around for food. They didn't have enough food, and we were this close to them overthrowing the regime. Biden gives them billions of dollars. Now we've got well-armed Houthi pirates blowing up British ships in major shipping lanes. We've got the funding of Hamas. We've got the funding of the Gazans for genocide. All of that was funded, armed, and coordinated by the Iranians with what? The money Biden gave them. Now they're so out of control, they are in our streets funding Democrat protests. Now, what country is Iran again? I'm going to blow your mind here. The country that sends assassins to kill Trump. But weirdly, not Biden or Kamala. You heard anything about an assassination plot? Iran, Kamala, Biden, anybody around them? I Googled it to make sure. Nope. Nope, just Trump. Just Trump. Suppose you're a mullah. You're openly funding these subversive activity in America's streets in partnership with the Democrat Party. Because who else is funding it? Remember when we learned this? Who else is funding it? Biden's donors. So let me get it straight. Biden's donors are funding it with the Iranians who he gave the billions of dollars to. Yeah, you're watching a merger of Iran, of the Iranian government, of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and the Democrat Party in the streets. While Iran sends assassins to kill Trump. And remember the details of this assassination plot, okay? This is not a theoretical, maybe they're doing it kind of thing. We caught the first assassin. He's scheduled to go on trial. We caught him in 21. He had hired a cartel hitman to kill Bolton and Pompeo for $300,000. And then they were going to move on to Trump for $1 million. This is the second assassin that they have sent. Google it. The FBI had his name, has him on wanted posters. They think he might have crossed the border or will cross the border from Venezuela. Oddly, the Iranians are not trying to kill Kamala or Biden, though. Why? Well, because they're working in partnership with them in the streets of America. So what you're looking at is the Summer of Love 2.0, funded by Iran and terror, and Hamas and terrorists, because Hamas, that's an Iranian proxy group, right? Now, think about this for a moment. I'm going to really blow your mind. Suppose you're an Iranian mullah. You're not you. You're a mullah in Iran. You're watching this whole Trump assassination thing, and you're watching the unsecuring and insecuring of the Trump rally. Very obvious that they wanted to lower security. Then in the days following that, as you're wondering what the heck is going on, you learn they knew the whole time that an Iranian assassin or assassins were coming for Trump, and they lowered the security anyway. What does that tell you as a mullah? Wait, they knew the assassins were coming, and Iranians know they knew. The FBI put the wanted posters out in April. With the guy's face and name, hey, this guy's probably coming from Venezuela to kill Trump in his circle or to pay others to do it. Be on the lookout for him. and they lower security. And Iran goes, they want us to assassinate him. That's they. What other conclusion would a rational person draw? So it sure looks like a joint political operation by the Democrat Party and Iran on U.S. soil, with the Democrat-controlled security, federal security agencies lowering security after learning about it, a second Iranian assassination plot. And the reason I tell you about the first plot is to show you how serious this is. There was a real guy who tried to wire $300,000 to a cartel hitman. Merger of Iran and the Democrat Party, they are one. And this is why there is no assassination plot against anybody who's a Democrat right now. But a second one against Donald Trump and his circle. With our intel agencies, never forget this, Jesse Waters saying, hey, expect them to try to kill him again.
And now we're getting leaks from the intelligence community that the Iranians have a fatwa on 45. And, quote, there may be more attempts on Trump's life in the coming weeks.
I'm sure there will be.
This is completely unacceptable.
I'm sure there will be. They unsecured and insecured that rally. Every assassin on Earth's like, hey, I wonder if they're going to unsecure and insecure the next rally. Better check that out. Well, as the FBI tells us, they're just very confused about why Thomas Crooks would want to shoot Donald Trump. They can't find any kind of motive at all, but they're really searching. I'm like, how hard are they searching? Well, not very hard, apparently. I don't know whether to laugh or cry at this. The CEO of Gab, which is a right-wing social media site, the CEO of Gab discovered an account that he believes is Thomas Crick's account on Gab. It was only used briefly in 2021, but whoa, boy. He was a liberal troll. Huge Biden supporter. Not surprised by that. The only checks he's ever written were to the Democrat Party. When you donate to ACT Blue's turnout fund, you are a highly sophisticated partisan. Yes, he was registered as a Republican because that's what Democrat leadership was telling him to do on all of those podcasts they went on when they were trying to get Nikki Haley elected in the primary. That's why he's registered as a Republican, to meddle in our primary. They didn't let them vote in theirs. They only let, you know, Joe run. Nobody else was allowed to run, as the Black Lives Matter pointed out. Of course, he was registered as a Republican. But his donations were to Democrats, and he's got this Gab account. Now, you know what's wild about this? Come on. You're telling me the FBI can't figure out what this guy thinks, what his motivation might have been? Where would you look? I'd go find out if he had any social media accounts, wouldn't you? Yeah, guess they forgot that. Now, here's where this gets even weirder. Torba, I forget his first name, darn it, I had it right in front of me, who is the CEO and founder of Gab, says he has preserved all the accounts and all of the posts defending Joe Biden and Joe Biden's policies and basically trolling about in a liberal way, that he has preserved all of that should the FBI ever send a warrant his way. And he wants to turn it over. So let me get you straight. The head of Gab can find the account, but not the FBI. Why hasn't he already gotten some sort of legal document demanding that he retain this, asking for them to see it? Because they don't want to see it. They don't want to know. Because then they'd have to tell you the truth about who he is. He is a Biden donor, a Biden supporter, and a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. That's why. So it looks like, lest Torb is confused here, sure, and by the way, no one has contacted him at all from our law enforcement agencies. You're telling me you don't know why he did it, but you missed the social media account that might tell you why he did it? You didn't see it? In fact, this is going to be hilarious if it turns out it's his. And I would not be surprised one iota. But they can find social media posts that are sort of neutral. that are kind of confusing. Which, where did he, you know, where did he come from? They can find those, but they can't find this. Right. That's kind of like how they sat by and let us all believe for a year that the Pulse nightclub shooter was actually just a disgruntled gay man who'd been dumped by his boyfriend, when they knew the whole time that he called 911 while killing people at the nightclub to pledge allegiance to ISIS, came into town, stole the 911 tape, kept it for a year till they could get Hillary safely past the election, then released it. So I suppose we'll get all of the rest of the social media details on Thomas Crooks and what a big Democrat troll he was. What, after the election, when it no longer matters? Well, as the FBI tells us, they're just very confused about why Thomas Crooks would want to shoot Donald Trump. They can't find any kind of motive at all, but they're really searching. I'm like, how hard are they searching? Well, not very hard, apparently. I don't know whether to laugh or cry at this. The CEO of Gab, which is a right-wing social media site, the CEO of Gab discovered an account that he believes is Thomas Crooks' account on Gab. It was only used briefly in 2021, but whoa, boy, he was a liberal troll, huge Biden supporter. Not surprised by that. The only checks he's ever written were to the Democrat Party. When you donate to Act Blue's turnout fund, you are a highly sophisticated partisan. Yes, he was registered as a Republican because that's what Democrat leadership was telling him to do on all of those podcasts they went on when they were trying to get Nikki Haley elected in the primary. That's why he's registered as a Republican. To meddle in our primary. They didn't let them vote in theirs. They only let, you know, Joe run. Nobody else was allowed to run, as the Black Lives Matter pointed out. Of course he was registered as a Republican. But his donations were to Democrats, and he's got this Gab account. Now, you know what's wild about this? Come on. You're telling me the FBI can't figure out what this guy thinks, what his motivation might have been? Where would you look? I'd go find out if he had any social media accounts, wouldn't you? Yeah, guess they forgot that. Now, here's where this gets even weirder. Torba, I forget his first name, darn it, I had it right in front of me, who is the CEO and founder of Gab, says he has preserved all the accounts and all of the posts defending Joe Biden and Joe Biden's policies and basically trolling about in a liberal way, that he has preserved all of that should the FBI ever send a warrant his way. And he wants to turn it over. So let me get you straight. The head of Gab can find the account, but not the FBI. Why hasn't he already gotten some sort of legal document demanding that he retain this, asking for them to see it? Because they don't want to see it. They don't want to know. Because then they'd have to tell you the truth about who he is. He is a Biden donor, a Biden supporter, and a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. That's why. So it looks like, Les Torb is confused here. And by the way, no one has contacted him at all from our law enforcement agencies. You're telling me you don't know why he did it, but you missed the social media account that might tell you why he did it? You didn't see it? But this is going to be hilarious if it turns out it's his. And I would not be surprised one iota. But they can find social media posts that are sort of neutral, that are kind of confusing. Where did he, you know, where did he come from? They can find those, but they can't find this. Right. That's kind of like how they sat by and let us all believe for a year that the Pulse nightclub shooter was actually just a disgruntled gay man who'd been dumped by his boyfriend, when they knew the whole time that he called 911 while killing people at the nightclub to pledge allegiance to ISIS, came into town, stole the 911 tape, kept it for a year till they could get Hillary safely past the election, then released it. So I suppose we'll get all of the rest of the social media details on Thomas Crooks and what a big Democrat troll he was. What, after the election, when it no longer matters?
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.